Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want to look at a couple verses right here in Romans 6 tonight. The Bible said this in verse number 10. Back up to verse number 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, watch this, but under grace. Boy, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm thankful that we are under grace instead of under the law tonight. Here's what I want to talk to you about for just a few minutes, and I'm time conscious with the Discovery Bible Club, but I want to talk to you about this tonight. A new way of living. A new way of living. Now, Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the great presentation. God, thank you, Lord, for world missions tonight, the very heartbeat of you, I do believe. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us now as we look into your word. I pray, God, that we would get an understanding from it. God, that it wouldn't just be words on a printed page tonight, and it wouldn't just be words uttered from a preacher's lip. But God, I pray, Lord, that they'd be ordained tonight. And God, may you fill us with the Holy Spirit and touch the heart of the hearer tonight. Save that sinner closest to hell, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One of the greatest problems, I believe, today in the Christian life is learning how to live the victorious Christian life. In other words, we don't have to live a deadbeat life, if you want to say it that way. A lot of people today, when they study the book of Joshua, they preach Canaan's land as a picture of heaven. But personally, I believe that that's out of context, because if Canaan land is a picture of heaven, then there's going to be wars in heaven. There's going to be death in heaven. There's going to be problems in heaven. And from everything I can read in the Word of God, none of that is found in heaven. Amen. Canaan land is a picture, though, of the victorious Christian life. Once we got saved, then God intends for us to live a new way. Matter of fact, what did he say in the Bible? He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So Christ has a new way of living for you and I. Now, let me say this to you. Romans chapter number 6 introduces us to this new way of living, which is a crucified life. It's a man right there. It's a crucified life. Romans 6 shows us that when Christ died, I died. When Christ was buried, I was buried. When Christ rose again, I rose again. Matter of fact, what do we do when we baptize somebody? It's symbolization of dying to the old man and raising a new man in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you study Romans chapter 6, I think it's very interesting to find 6 different times the word "for" is mentioned. There's "for likeness" in verse number 5. In verse number 6, there is the "for" of freedom. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse number 10, there is the "for" for living. What did he say? For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. God. Verse number 14, there's the four of victory. For sin shall not have dominion over you. We can have victory over sin. Verse number 20, there is the four of realization. For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Verse number 23, there's the four of promises. For the wages of sin is death. But watch this. The gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, here's what I'm interested in. Four simple truths out of these verses tonight on a new way of living. Can I ask you something tonight? Are you tired of the way you're living? Are you tired of the way things is? There is a new way of living. Hear me and hear me well tonight. You do not have to live in fear. You do not have to live in doubt. You do not have to live in worry. You do not have to live an anxious life. There is a way of living that we can live in the Lord Jesus Christ and have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let me show you a few things. Number one tonight, if we're going to experience this new way of living, I'll say number one tonight, we have to reckon your new position. Reckon your new position. Look what he said in verse number 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through what? Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this word reckon, is not, I reckon I'm going to do that after a while. Y'all understand that? Say amen, Miss Pam. You know what I'm saying? Reckon is a word that we use all the time. I reckon I'm going to go over yonder. I reckon I'm going to go eat some supper. I reckon I'm going to go get me a drink. I reckon I'm going to go get me some nab. Somebody say amen. That is not the word right here. A different reckon, all right? I don't even know that reckons in the dictionary, but it's in the Low Gap dictionary. Somebody say amen. Think about this. This word reckon in verse number 11, here's what it means. It means count. It means compute. It means calculate. Matter of fact, it's an accountant's term. When they balance the checkbook, they reckon the checkbook. It is to calculate. We reckon our new position. You see, there was a time that I was dead in trespassings of sin. Can I get a witness right there? There was a time that we was headed towards the flames of hell. Oh, but there was also a time in my life that the sweet Holy Spirit of God convicted me of my sins and showed me my need of Him. And I fell on my face an unworthy sinner in the presence of a holy God. Amen. In the presence of a holy God, and I got justified by His blood. Now I can reckon some things. Look what he said. He said, in verse number 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. It is to be dead to sin. When I reckon my sin, when I calculate my sin, when you take God's calculator of grace, oh yes, good neighbor, and put my sin into God's calculator of grace, you know what happens? It's reckoned, it is calculated, and it's under the blood, forever gone. We have to reckon our new position. I am dead to sin. You want me to tell you the reason you sin? Because you want to sin. My grandma, y'all have heard me say this before, but I remember Brother Ramsey years ago, my grandpa looked at me, my Pa Barker, and here's what he said. I can't tell you the last time I willfully sinned. And I was a young preacher that knew everything then, but there's one thing that I did know for certain, not to argue with Papa. So you know what it made me do? It made me go home and get in the Word of God and figure out what here's what he was saying. I can't tell you the last time that I just went out and indulged in sin purposely. He was not saying that he was living a sinless life, because none of us can. But there is a difference in just going out and indulging in sin. We do not have to do that anymore. I don't have to walk the way I used to walk. I don't have to listen to the things I used to listen to. Why? Because I reckon myself dead. I calculate myself dead to sin. I thought about this. Our new position is in Christ. I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. I rose one third and glorious morning with Christ. So number one tonight, a new way of living, you must reckon your new position. But can I say this? Number two, you must reject the old path. Look what he said in verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign. That's verse, verse number 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, that little word reign right there, when you study it out, here's what it means. It means to be king, to exercise kingly power. You know what he says to us tonight? Here's what he says. Let not sin therefore exercise kingly power over you. I'm not changing the Bible. I'm giving you the definition for the word. You know what happens? A lot of times we allow sin to reign, to exercise a kingly power over us. You say, preacher, how do I keep from sinning? You reckon it dead. You reckon it dead. Amen. Reject that old life. Decide that sin will no longer reign in your life. I've said this before. I know some people that has faced major alcohol addiction. Matter of fact, there's even people come to our church that one day faced that major alcohol addiction. And I've heard them say this: I can't be anywhere around it. Let me tell you the reason why. Here's the reason why. Because they are still flesh, and the flesh draws them to that. So you know what we must do? We must abstain from the very appearance of evil. You've got to reject the old path. You say, preacher, you know, boy, I was doing good, but then I found myself right back in the same mess. What'd you do? You went right back down the same path. You've got to come to a point in your life where you reject that, where you turn away from that. Can I just say this to you? I'd rather go home tonight with peace in my heart and joy in my soul and lay my head down and go to sleep than worry about some sin that I'm dabbling in. You've got to reject the old path. I'm talking about a new way of living. You got to reckon your new position, reject the old path. But look in verse number 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. What did he say? Here's what he said. Yield yourself unto God. Yield. I said this a while ago. I'm saying, yeah, let me tell you the reason you find yourself in sin, because you want to. You want me to tell you the reason a man's going to cheat on his wife tonight? Because he wants to. You want me to tell you the reason a woman's going to cheat on her husband tonight? Because they want to. Somebody holler, amen, help the preacher. You want me to tell you the reason a man goes and gets drunk tonight? Because he wants to. Amen. You want me to tell you the reason the teenager messes up in fornication? It's because they want to. You want me to tell you the reason a teenage girl is pregnant today? It's because she wanted to. Now you can say amen or oh me, but it's the truth tonight. And here's what we must do. Look what he said in verse number 13. Yield yourselves unto God. You got to reckon your new position. You got to reject the old path. Watch this in verse number 13. You got to relinquish to the new principle. You've got to relinquish to the new principle. Here's what that word principle means. First or highest in rank. A chief or head. So can I just say this? There is a new chief officer in your life since you've got saved. I'm not over me no more. I was bought with a price. Christ bought me off of the auction block of sin. So I am no more mine. Olivia, on Tuesdays, loves to go to the cattle sale. So yesterday we loaded up, went to the cattle sale. We walked through and looked at all the cattle before the sale started and walked in there and sit down. And those cattle come in with one person owning them and left with a different owner. They rode in on one truck and rode out on another truck and trailer. Can I say something to you? July the 20th, 1994, I rode in on one truck. It was called the truck of sin. But that night I realized there was somebody there at the auction that decided to pay the debt for me. Even though I was wicked, even though I was vile, even though I should have died and went to hell, he was willing to pay the price. I asked forgiveness of my sins and I rode out on the truck of grace that night, and I must relinquish myself to a new owner now. I'm no longer mine. I don't do the things I want to do. I do the things he wants me to do. Somebody say amen. If I'd done the things I wanted to do sometimes, I'd throat punch some people. Somebody say amen right there. If I'd done the things I wanted to do sometimes, I'd jap slap them. Somebody say amen. You say, preacher, would you? I really would. I really would. You say, you wouldn't do something. I've always said this. If you're a man and ain't never been in a fight in your life, something's wrong. You say, well, what are you going to do if two of the teenage boys is fighting after service? Well, I'm going to jump in there and pull for one of them. Whenever they get done, I'm going to pull them apart and go buy them a cheeseburger. We're going to go on down the road. That's a problem with society today. We're raising a bunch of lily-livered cowards as boys. Hey, bunch of lip-wristed sissies, but I'm going to get off of that. Yeah, I really would punch a few every once in a while, Brother Ramsey, if God would let me. But God won't let me, Brother Will, because I have relinquished myself to a new principle in my life. Amen. Now, you that's all holier than y'all, you done condemned me, but you can condemn me a long time ago. Well, it didn't just start tonight. It's just the truth. We get mad and we want to say things that we ain't supposed to say. And we will if we don't relinquish ourselves dead. I sat in a meeting last week. And man, I'm telling you, I didn't have no hard candy. And you say, why does that matter? Because I eat hard candy when I'm in a meeting, Brother Aaron, if I start getting ill. Not because my sugar's dropping, because if y'all are ever sitting with me somewhere in a meeting and you see me go to eating candy, just know you need to go to praying. Especially if you're the one on the other side of the desk. Ain't that right, Brother Dakota? I didn't have no candy. So you know what I done? I had a notepad and I went to doodling. I think that's what they call it. In that, I drawed all kinds of things in that notepad. Matter of fact, another individual that was in that meeting told me the next day, I could tell you wasn't liking what was going on. And he said this, but you didn't say nothing. Let me tell you the reason why the whole time in the back of my mind. Here's what I said. First and foremost, you're a pastor in this community. You're God's child. People in this room is lost. And if you blow your top right here, and I think I had a right to blow my top, but if you blow your top right here, and let me tell you what happened. It got right to that point, and the meeting got busted up. Something come up, and the meeting got busted up. You know what I think? I told my wife, I said, you know what happened? The Lord busted that meeting up because I was just right on the verge of not relinquishing it. Myself to him. You see, once I got saved, I got a new principle in my life. There's somebody, there's a new sheriff in town in my life the night I got saved. And if you're going to live a new way of life, if you're going to live a victorious Christian life, if you're going to walk in fellowship in the joy of God, you're going to have to learn to relinquish your rights over to God. You'll have to learn to give it to Him. You'll have to learn to turn around and walk off at times. Miss Bethany said the other day, this just absolutely blew my mind. But she said the other day that she just really wanted to slap somebody. And I thought, Bethany? I mean, sweet little Bethany? Real? I mean, I guess this pregnancy's just got her moody as everything, Brother Aaron. If Brother Aaron comes in with a bad spot on his jaw, y'all will know what happened. But we're all human. Somebody help the preacher right there. We're all human. But here's what he said. Look what he said. That we yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead. You see, He brought me back from the dead. When I got saved, the Holy Ghost moved into my life. There's somebody else living in me now, and I am made alive, and you hath He quickened, made alive. I am made alive in Him, and there comes a time that young person, when temptation comes your way, you know what you're going to have to learn to do? You're going to have to learn to relinquish yourself to a new principle in your life. Amen. Amen. Now, the younger kids are out of here, and I'm going to say a few things, and if you get mad, you best not have no TV in your house. But the Lord put certain desires, I'll say it that way, in your life. God put that in your life. He done it when He made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. And He put a desire in your life. And that's the reason God created marriage. You all right, Mom and Daddy? Help me right here. That's the reason God created marriage, is because He knew you had that desire in your life. And He created marriage so that desire could be fulfilled in the act of marriage. Somebody help the preacher tonight. I'm still running well. So that could be fulfilled in the marriage and in the bedroom of your home with your husband or with your wife. And here's what happens when that desire swells up inside of you. If you don't relinquish yourself to a new principle, your life will be destroyed, and something will be taken away from you that's called your virginity that will never, you'll never, 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 never get it back. You better learn. I'm preaching real good to our young people tonight. You better learn to relinquish yourself to a new principle. Amen. You better learn to relinquish yourself to a new principle. That's the reason the Bible said that it's good for man not to be alone. It's the reason the Bible talks about marriage. Amen. You say, what age should they get married? The Bible says this, it's better to marry than to burn. Matter of fact, I told one the other day, and I wasn't being cocky, I was just being honest. Madeline's trying to pursue an education, and I'm going to try my best to help her with that. But in all honesty, if she didn't want to, being a young lady, it's really not her place to. It's her place to be a stay-at-home mom and take care of a family at home, and it's the man's place to work and take care of the family. Well, I'm still in my King James tonight. You can holler amen or old me. That's not popular preaching, but it's right preaching. Amen. Learn to relinquish yourself to a new principle in your life. Sir, when you're tempted at work, you better learn to relinquish yourself. You better learn to yield yourself to God. Amen, preacher. You better learn, ma'am. You say, well, that guy down there at work said that I look nice today, and it's been 2 days since my husband said that. And what's your point? And what's your point? Take the Bible and show me where He's supposed to tell you that every day. Sounds to me like you're already looking for somebody else to show you a little interest anyway. You better learn. I'm trying to help us, church. You better learn to relinquish yourself to a new principle. There's somebody else in charge. It's not your life anymore. It's not your way right away anymore. This isn't Burger King or McDonald's or whoever it was that said that. It's the Lord's way, and we relinquish ourselves to Him. We yield ourselves to Him. Watch this. I'm done. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. I say this, reckon your new position. Reject the old paths. Relinquish to the new principle. But number four, rely on the new promise. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Are you hearing the Bible? For sin shall not have dominion over you. What did he say? Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Rely on this new promise. I am dead to sin. The reason I sin is because I want to. Amen. That's the reason we sin. It's because we want to. There's pleasure in it. Somebody say amen right there because it's in the Bible. Here's what Moses said about it. He said, I choose to suffer affliction. That word is pain and loss when studied out. He said, I choose to suffer pain and loss with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, it is fun. Preachers get up and say, sin's no fun. Well, that's not scripture. The Bible said it was fun, but it's for a season. In other words, just as spring is starting to go out of the air and summer's starting to come into the air, the season of sin will leave from summer and go to fall into winter one day. And you'll find yourself rocking your baby to sleep as a teenager instead of running around with your friends. Then you'll be in the winter time of sin. You'll find yourself sitting in a prison cell somewhere and you'll be in the winter time of sin. You'll find your family busted into a million pieces and you'll be in the winter time. You know what blows my mind today is people 65 and 70 years old filing for divorce. Let me tell you the reason why they've not relinquished themselves to a new principle. Maybe they don't have a new principle in their life. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe they need to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A new way of living. I don't know about anybody else, but I like living this new way. I like, Madeline, come start playing soft if you will. I like living in the presence of God. I like living a spirit-filled life. I like walking with the Lord, Brother Ramsey, and talking with the Lord, Brother Adam. I like fellowshipping with the Lord. I like reading my Bible and God speaking to me. I like riding down the road, watching the birds fly in the air, and enjoying the blessings of God. Let me tell you the reason so many can't do that is because they've not found this new way of living. You see, being saved is not just fire insurance. It's so much more than that. It's so God's not a 911 service. He's so much more than that. Let me tell you the reason man was created. When you study creation and you go to Genesis and you begin looking in Genesis at creation and you began thinking about everything that was created and you began thinking about the days of creation and all the things that was created. God created everything from a distance. He spoke it into existence and created it from a distance until it came to man. God breathed the breath of life into man. The first blood transfusion in history because the life is in the blood. God breathed the breath of life into man. Back years ago, Brother Brian, when they taught mouth-to-mouth CPR, I'm glad they don't teach that no more, but when they taught mouth-to-mouth CPR, I remember years ago, the first time I took CPR, Miss Vicki, that's what we was taught was mouth-to-mouth CPR. And they always said this. I don't know how we're going to get back off on this topic tonight, but they always said this. Be careful because there's always the vomit in your mouth. That's what they said. And you know, down through the years of doing CPR numerous times, that is common. But I always thought, man, you with me? I can handle brains and blood and everything, but when it comes to that, John's leaving. You don't believe me? Ask Brent Robertson if I didn't leave him in the back of an ambulance one day. He was sitting over here on McMichael School Road that fast. He said, I need suction. I said, you're getting paid. I'm not. See you, Hoss. I'll drive. And I went and got in the front. But for you to breathe into somebody, it's close contact. And God created everything from a distance until it came to mankind. And God was personal with mankind when he breathed the breath of life into mankind. And man became a living soul for one reason: for God to have somebody to fellowship with. That's the reason we're created, is to fellowship with God. And I want to say this to you tonight. The only way that you'll ever be in true fellowship with God is living this new life. You're saved and you relinquish your rights to him. And then trust him. Can I say it's the best life I've ever lived? There's nothing like it. Brother Jerry, how old was you when you got saved? A few weeks short of 70. And it's been 2 years since you got saved, hadn't it? Almost 2 years ago that you got saved on that Sunday night. Boy, I still remember that. But I want to ask you something. Has the past 2 years been great? The best 2 years of my life. Young people that's not saved, listen. And I don't mean this disrespectful. I'm just being as honest. Listen to an old man that lived a successful life in the world's eyes, that had a successful job in the world's eyes, that was very successful, been a successful man in our community for years. But you know what he said? They come a night about right here that he relinquished. Well, the kids is ready to get out of class and I'm ready to preach. He relinquished himself to a new master, and here's what he says: been the best 2 years of my life. Oh yes, that's the life that you can live when you give yourself to him.